Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of March 19th, 2024, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. News AF back again. We've got some great stories here to talk about here with our News AF team that is all over North America here today, coming to you live from Mexico. It's Pickleball's top influencer, Tyson Apostle.
Viva la Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah, I am in Mexico. I'm right on the coast. I thought that this backdrop would be nice, but all you can see is bright light.
Yes. Is that a snowstorm behind you?
Yes, it's a snowstorm. I'm looking at pelicans flying along the water on the beach.
Wow.
But you're not seeing any of that out there. Let me see if I lift my...
I see the chair. Oh, I see. I do. Yes. Oh, yes. There you go. Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. You are in silhouette. But then, yes. So, you saw it nice.
Yeah. So that's it. That's where we're at. I thought this would make everybody really jealous. And
very jelly.
Internet has been questionable. So what I did was I shrank down my browser to an inch by an inch. Do you remember when, like, in the late 90s and early 2000s, if you shrunk your browser down, that would use less bandwidth?
Yeah.
I don't think that works like that anymore. But I think there was a time when if you were trying to download South Park episodes from ComedyCentral.com, you would shrink your... it worked better. I don't know why.
It probably doesn't in this case, Tyson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it probably doesn't. But yeah, we seem to be going good, and we've been having a great time out here in Mexico. There's a nature preserve right next to where we are that supposedly has crocodiles. Ooh. And I've been going over there and looking, and security has been following me over there, telling me not to go over there. And I keep telling them I'm a trained professional, which is a stretch. But I haven't seen a crocodile yet, and I told them to call my room or my phone number as soon as they see a crocodile so I can run over and see one.
Okay. All right. So Tyson may have to step away from the podcast if the phone rings.
Mm-hmm. If the phone rings, I got to run over.
And can you switch to your mobile phone to go live to the crocodile?
Yeah, I for sure will. Cool. They said there's like a 10-foot male. I don't even think the crocodiles get that big down here, but maybe they do. They said there's a 10-foot male in the preserve. And
we'll
it's just
believe
this
it when we see it.
With two females who both have nests right now, and they're very territorial.
Wow. One male and there's two females?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And guess what? In nature, it's a lot different. Like, that doesn't mean that there's like 75 mouths to feed. You just do your deed and then keep being the king of the
pond. Swim upstream
or downstream, yeah, or whatever.
Downstream, the crocodiles don't mate. You're saying
they do mate, but that's the end.
That's it. They don't say mate, stay.
They don't need anybody to babysit anybody on vacation while the other one's working.
Yeah.
What a life!
All right, there you go. All right, now here with us. Once again, the great Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Wild weekend, boys.
Why? What happened?
Wild weekend.
What happened?
First, how old is he now? 11-year-old?
Yeah.
He crashed his bike and broke his arm.
Oh!
This led to
Did he break his arm?
Both tibia, fibia, right near his wrist. This is
fractures.
No, I think he has to get a hard cast. This is his second broken arm.
Fell off the bike or crashed into something?
Oh, he crashed. Someone sent us doorbell video footage of it happening, and He took his hand off the handlebar to show off he was in front of his crush's house. He doesn't admit to this, but I think this is what happened. He went up by her house.
This is Oliver.
Wow.
Yes. And he was cruising super fast in front of her house and did, you know, like took his hand off. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. One-handed.
Very cool.
That'll impress some people.
Yeah. And it started to wobble. And by the time he put the other hand back on, it was too late. So he endoed and broke his arm.
Jeez.
This led to
Was not impressed.
She didn't even see.
Of course,
she
was impressed.
He was hoping she was watching, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure she's seen the Ring camera at this point.
She has definitely seen that.
Is she in love now? What's the deal?
I think they already liked each other.
Could be like a Back to the Future thing where maybe she's going to take care of him.
Did he cry? Or was this a thing where he like absolutely did not cry because he was in front of his crush's house?
He didn't. I don't know. If I had a broken arm, I would be taking all the drugs available.
Yeah. I'd be saying like all the bad words I've ever learned.
Yeah. He takes like one ibuprofen every 8 hours. I don't even understand that.
Yeah.
Didn't cry. I picked him up. Mm-hmm. And then I took him home and I'm like, dude, I don't know if it's broken because you don't seem to be in that much pain. I would think broken bones would equal a lot of pain. Granted, there's shock and adrenaline, right? Mm-hmm. But overall, he really didn't even cry about it at all until his mom showed up. And then, of course, I got a lecture for not taking care of him. Like, he wasn't crying. Like, literally 30 seconds ago, he was not crying. I had no idea his arm was really broken. I was like, let's play the waiting game, see what happens here.
You sound like my parents. Oh, yeah. your head is pouring blood. That doesn't mean your skull is cracked.
Look, I cleaned up all his road rash.
Hold on, let's just see what happens.
Yeah. Yes, so I cleaned up all his road rash, and I'm like, I don't understand. If your arm is broken, it just seems like if my arm was broken, I'd be saying the F word.
Do the doctor test? Like, wiggle all your fingers. Do this.
I didn't want to touch it. In any way, it's really gross.
Can you wiggle your fingers? And if he can't wiggle his fingers, go get an X-ray.
I know. Okay,
have you not gone to medical school?
No, never. So I called Liz. I'm like, I want you to come home and handle this because I don't want to go to the hospital, right?
Oh, right. You're aversion to hospitals.
I'm like, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't know if it's broken. She shows up and she's like, why are you just sitting here? I'm like, well, I got an appointment at an urgent care. I did that much. So she takes him and it was indeed broken. But this led to no St. Patrick's Day setup. So my 8-year-old wakes up Sunday morning and finds out there's been no St. Patrick's Day preparation. I didn't even know that was that big of a deal. Loses her mind.
Yeah.
For like 40 minutes straight, we got both barrels of her emotional breakdown right in the face of just like, I can't believe this. Worst family ever. St. Patrick's Day is the worst day. I hate everything. Everyone.
What do you usually do for St. Patrick's Day?
This is relatable.
So
yeah.
This is the new St. Patrick's Day. Not what we experience.
Yeah.
But the new generation expects one to build a trap, which I told her to do the day before, but she got distracted like everybody else due to the broken arm. So she didn't build her trap. There were no gold coins. There were no like pranks. It was just, it was an emotional disaster. Yeah. She wanted us to turn back time. She kept screaming, I want to go back and do this again. I'm like, that's not possible currently. It was a nightmare.
We know of.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was like the worst 48 hours so far.
Terrible. Yeah, can't have these St. Patrick's Day on the weekends anymore.
What a breakdown.
So that Danny, at our house, that my younger son, that he did not go to sleep at a normal hour on Friday night. He couldn't fall asleep, and he was like super cranky on Saturday. Yep. He fell asleep at the table. This is at 6:15 at night. Mm-hmm. Fell asleep at the table. He's 8 years old. Fell asleep at dinner that we just left him passed out, put him to bed at like 10:30, woke up screaming, we did not set up the leprechaun trap. And I'm
that's
saying
that's waiting for.
It's 10:30 at night now. Look, listen, let me peel back the curtain for the, you know, people that don't have, like, it's like, you know, there's the part of the day that has the kids in it. And then there's a reasonable expectation that there will then be like an adult part of the day that does not involve the kids.
Where you just watch TV, you force yourselves to watch TV on opposite sides of the couch, rolling your phones for 3 to 5 hours. And then you go to bed too late, later than you should have, wake up feeling horrible.
Mm-hmm. All starts over again.
And it all starts over again. And that's the circle of life for a parent.
And so now it's 10:30 at night. He's hysterical. We didn't set up the leprechaun trap. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, Nicole, does he, he's 8 years old. He believes a leprechaun is coming into the house to screw stuff up. What are we doing? Why? Why do we want this?
He doesn't have enough faith in us. And she's like, let me go.
Yeah, let me go rig up some Kevin McAllister leprechaun traps real quick. And then, now she's like setting up like a box with like a stick and like throwing like gold coins around.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I feel your pain and you feel mine, Rob. That's, it's like, I can't even understand how we've reached this point.
A parent, I have two daughters and I have never, I didn't so, even know leprechaun traps and all this. Yes, whole
all of my nieces and nephews do leprechaun traps. Wow. And honestly, it was pretty cute until this one. This is the year. Yeah. And here's the funny thing. She doesn't believe in Santa Claus anymore, but mm-hmm. leprechauns, they're real.
Yeah.
They come and I don't know why they come and only once a year, mm-hmm. but they are freaking real. And I always said, asked her like, what do you do if you trap one? Like, what if you actually caught a leprechaun?
Yeah.
And what'd
she say?
She said, I'm going to have it take me to its goal. I'm like, what if it doesn't agree to take you? Are you willing to inflict pain on the leprechaun to get it to take you to its goal? Yeah.
And it's like, what's your next? It's move? Not even cute. It's like a bloodthirst that my kid said, "Dad, I need 1 million anvils to kill the leprechaun."
Okay. Wow.
1 million anvils we need to drop on the leprechaun.
Here's the best
quote. Make sure you get it good.
Thirsty for gold.
Here's the best quote from my 8 year old after trying to get everything settled down. After the leprechaun trap wasn't set, nothing happened Sunday morning. She says that I wish mom would fall into a pit of fire.
Oh my God.
because you forgot?
Yes, all because of St. Patrick's Day. I wish mom would fall into a pit of fire. I was like, wow, that is extreme. Extreme. All over St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. All because she wasn't able to trap and kill a leprechaun and find its pot of gold.
You've skirted the wrath of your children by constantly being a Debbie Downer for all holidays. So they just expect it from you. But then when Liz, who does all of it every single time, fails one time, she gets all of the wrath.
Took the brunt. Now she listens to this podcast and she's going to be nodding her head to that comment. Tyson, mm-hmm. you're like, oh yeah, Tyson knows. Yes. That is how it is.
Crazy. Yeah. Cause Danny just steps away. He's like, yeah, I don't do shit anyways. and then Liz just takes it all. You can't win, Liz. I'm sorry. Look,
I still got yelled at for 45 minutes. Eventually calmed her down. My 8-year-old. Oh yeah. By both actually. Eventually. But at first just the 8-year-old. And then later on, Liz did yell at me. Mm-hmm. And so you're right.
I'd like to add the mess from the leprechaun trap still has not been touched. I said to my wife, I said, so you're just making a mess that at some point you will have to clean up. Right?
Yep.
Right. Still, it's Tuesday. Leprechaun trap mess still set up. But thank God we got our leprechaun trap in. But mm-hmm. St. Patrick allegedly led the snakes out of Ireland. That was like a big part of the mythology of St. Patrick's Day.
That's pretty awesome.
Maybe that was a mistake.
Snakes don't want to live in Ireland.
Well, maybe, you know, we've talked a lot about Smeet over the years. And Danny, of course, we know hates cows. But some smart people are saying that the future of meat is snake pythons.
They don't say that.
They might be our most sustainable meat source.
No, the most sustainable meat source is insects.
Hmm.
So many crickets. Of those.
But crickets. I think I would not be excited about eating insects.
You'd be stoked about eating a python?
A snake steak?
I might.
I could get my head around that.
You see how big a python is? I saw just this morning a story about a 400-pound pile of pythons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're out there just in big old meat piles already, skin them up, make some boots, eat a steak.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Very popular already in certain parts of the world that the python farming could be big business because the pythons, they'll eat whatever. They don't make a lot of waste. And there's a lot of meat on these things.
And it's easier to eat an ugly animal. And I know there's probably python lovers out there, but I think that when it comes to eating meat, the dumb, ugly animals are the easiest to eat.
So list in order of animals, you know, which
like
is
you're not going to, if someone's like, hey, here's a red panda steak. I'd be like, not interested. Right. Okay. Way too cute to eat.
Okay.
But if they're like, hey, here's a python, a pile of python meat. I'd be like, all right, let's barbecue that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't need a lot of water.
Yeah. Everybody's telling us they eat snakes in Asian countries. Well, guess what, guys? Arizona is not a country, and you can get rattlesnake on the menu in a lot of places.
How is that?
Salty and overcooked.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, but I think that's the chef's problem, not necessarily the meat. And I also, I don't know.
Yep. They're saying
I would eat python meat.
Yeah, pound for pound, they eat just about anything. They could break down bones. They produce almost no water waste. They poop less than mammals.
No, but why? Why not just let them do their rodent population control naturally, and we farm and eat crickets?
Hmm.
That's what I'm a proponent of.
A big old cricket steak?
No, you make smeat out of crickets.
Do you take the crickets can turn into smeat?
I don't know how that works.
Science on this.
Yeah.
The protein, if you're just in it for the protein and it's a nutritional thing.
I'm in it for the flavor.
Okay, then you're going to want a snake.
Mm-hmm. Give me some snake meat.
Yeah. Mm, yeah.
But
if you're in it just to try and get your protein servings, then try crickets. Oh, I just got a text from Brian Dunnings, my friend who also runs the Skeptoid podcast.
Yes.
Who's listening to us live on Twitter right now. And he said, ugly animals are easier to eat, to include boiled tarantulas.
Okay.
There's so Danny, much meat on a tarantula. Rebuttal? Yes, yes. If there's a lot of meat on a tarantula, that
you'd rather eat a tarantula than a red panda.
Oh my gosh. I would never eat a red panda. They're so cute. Or a fox. What's they're also cute.
The cutest animal you would eat?
You know, we should be eating more donkey if we're going off of not cute animals. They're pretty ugly.
Even though that's my daughter's animal hot takes.
That's my daughter's favorite animal for some reason, which I can't get an explanation.
What did you adopt? Was it a cow?
Adopt?
Yes.
No, I work around cows.
No, but well, your family adopted an animal, right?
Oh, sheep. Yes.
Yeah, the sheep. Right. The sheep.
Stupid sheep.
Yeah.
They're the worst. Now Liz like cries every time she sees sheep. She thinks about her sheep all the time.
Wait, it lived at your house?
I mean, it lived just down the street in a field.
And what would you do? Go look at it every day?
What are you talking about? They fed it. They raised it and sold it at auction. And
oh, yeah.
Just for the broke Liz.
4A or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
It broke Liz. So now she's not vegetarian, but she cries every time.
Like, I'm vegetarian.
Meat.
I'll still eat steak, snake. And a handful of meat. But
eggs,
I won't eat lamb.
Bacon. Mm-hmm. Bacon. Yeah, but I won't eat lamb, which I never ate before because it's always been disgusting.
It is gross.
Yeah.
Gamey.
Okay. Well, they say that the python meat tastes like chicken.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably a white flesh, like alligator or crocodile or any of those.
When you call it flesh, it just like, that doesn't make
it
appealing. Yeah.
Okay. You got to call it meat.
Meat. Thank you. Yes. That's consumable. Mm-hmm. Flesh. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
think we could save the world with this.
I'm not so desperate yet that I need to turn to snake eating. I think we're just, right now you're saying all the positives, but once we get like knee deep in snake farming, we're going to realize all the negatives. Like little kids are just disappearing. We don't know.
Knee deep in snake farming.
Yeah. Especially in Florida, they have a python problem.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you have this python problem. And like the only places you can do snake farming is like the frozen tundra. So Canada can snake farm, Alaska and anything north.
Because they can't escape.
Because if they escape, they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's not really sustainable because they're not in a natural habitat that can sustain them with little to no effort. So then you're going to have these generators come in to produce the tropical climate that's needed.
I think a giant snake orgy, like thousands of snakes,
is enough to keep warm.
Over each other.
They would love it.
I think that's pretty warm.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
They're cold-blooded, Danny.
Have you ever seen snakes survive winter here? Like rattlesnakes? They just have giant piles of snakes underground writhing over each other. Giant snake orgies underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's enough.
Those are free-range snakes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Delicious. The best kind. Little okay. Amy.
All right. Well, it is mid-March, and that means a lot of young people are out there celebrating spring break. Tyson, are you seeing any spring breakers down in Mexico?
I will tell you, and this is probably, I'm probably going to receive some backlash for this,
but
we flew down to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, because it was the only cheap-ish flight we could find during this spring break. Mm-hmm. And it's so many people. We get to the airport, customs was so long. It didn't matter what line you were in, it was long. Then once you go through customs to baggage claim, there's another line that's like three times longer than that to get just through the declarations part. And it wound on itself with no rhyme or reason, just snaking through the baggage claim. Nice. And where it almost touched at one point, the older couple sitting next to me on the plane was crisscrossing us like halfway up the line. And I just said, oh, there you guys are. And stepped in line with them with my family. And the people behind us got pissed. And the lady said, these are my grandkids. And we moved along. We made eye contact. We both understood what we were doing. And I had made friends enough with them on the plane that for, I don't know, 17 hours in that line or whatever, they were my kids' grandkids.
Or wow.
Parents. Yeah.
Dude, it was excellent work.
It was probably an hour and a half. Yeah. In line with them. Just
Tyson's eyes are so good at communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just could read his eyes. Yeah. It's a gift.
And the people apologized behind us. Oh, sorry. There's a lot of people trying to line.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're not listening.
I bet a lot of them haven't won Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
so
true.
Yeah.
Got through it. Still took a long time, but we're out of the way here. But I know that all of those people that were in line are there in Puerto Vallarta, just swarming over each other, paying outlandish prices at the market. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one of the other hotspots for spring break is, of course, Southern Florida. And people are lining up for a certain shot that they call the hurricane shot, where you pay $30 to get a shot. And this particular bartender, Ayana Callis, then slaps you in the face incredibly hard.
Is she extra strong?
I don't know how strong she is, but she looks like, okay, let me see it. Let me share this. Okay.
This sounds like a bro thing for sure.
Okay.
Look at the guy in the picture.
All right, here we go. So then this guy does a shot. I'm going to turn the sound off. He does a shot. Okay. And then gets thrown with a pitcher of water in the face.
Yeah.
And then a 360 slap from the bartender.
Oh my gosh, that happened. I'd have to tell Liz about it. Like, Liz, I got slapped by a bartender in a bikini. She's in a bikini too.
I'd have to, dig a hole. She has a whole website. Find a snake pit.
You know, the water is a great theatrical addition because it makes the slap look even better.
She makes so much money.
Yeah,
she found this niche where all these weirdos are coming out being like,
she hates them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like so happy to slap a spring breaker across the face. Like, how could you not?
Yeah. So accept her cookies. Yeah. So basically this is her website where you can book this. First you get like, you do the shot, then she pours a pitcher of water over your head and then slaps you in the face, and people are lining up for this.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Hurricane Ayana's website wants to know if I have any questions.
Ask her if her slaps hurt.
For sure they hurt. Because the,
put Danny Bryson in
there. Don't put my name in there. The pain of a slap isn't just in the strength of the slap. It's also the insulting feeling that comes with the slap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People love it. They go nuts.
Yeah, it's like
Chads and Brads lining up for miles longer than the airport line to get slapped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To just get belittled in public. It's just a thing they like. Yeah.
Yeah. But people are lining up for this, that she worked 45 days in a row last year during spring break. And
how much did she charge?
Well, it's $30 just for a shot. So
$30 a shot that comes with the slap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Kudos to her, because slapping, I've never slapped anyone that I can remember, but I can't imagine slapping not taking a toll on your hand.
On your hand.
And arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with that spin. She does a little spin, goes into the slap with all her weight. Yeah. That can't be easy. She probably trains for months.
Yeah. So in a given night, they say that she can make about $6,000 a night.
Oh my gosh.
Slapping spring breakers.
So let's say she's working, she said 45 days
mm-hmm.
at $5,000 a night.
Yeah.
That's well, I mean, it's a slow generous. Night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson, put on a Speedo, go down to the beach and offer shots with a slap.
Or a full punch to
or throw. a spin kick. Like a spin kick would be awesome.
Just like, here's your shot. Pop. As,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'm pretty enough, honestly, to get away with that. But yeah.
Chuck Norris should do it. People would pay to get a spin kick from Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Should Chuck Norris be down at the spring break?
He could only do a couple, though. You know, yeah. He's like 90 now.
I know. His birthday just barely happened. That's what made me think of him. But he could probably still do a spin kick and charge like $1,500 to take a Chuck Norris spin kick after a shot.
No, I think he would charge mm-hmm. more. I think
$10,000 to get a spin kick from Chuck Norris.
Because then you'd only need to do one a night.
Yeah, I think he could do it. He should get down there quick before it's over.
How much for a Chuck Norris shot?
I just said $10,000.
$10,000.
$10,000. Yeah.
Yeah, for a spin kick.
$10,000 for a spin kick.
It's not a
slap.
That's
a spectacle.
These spring breakers don't have $10,000. And they don't even know who Chuck Norris is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring this service to Coachella.
Bring it to Coachella.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, the ultimate spring break, of course, is the Olympics, especially now because, you know, we had a couple of like COVID Olympics, but this year, the Paris Olympics, we are so back because they've announced at the Paris Olympics, they will be handing out 300,000 condoms just at the Olympic Village.
And is that just news. Is that all just directly to Wilt Chamberlain? Or are they distributing those?
I think they're distributing them evenly. Again, this is a mind-blowing amount of condoms to the 14,000
athletes. Speak for yourself, Rob. Rob.
Yes, but again, apparently that we've talked about this before. These Olympic villages. This is the ultimate spring break.
A giant HPV cesspool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, snake pit. People. Yeah,
spring breakers. And if you get slapped there, there's some strong people.
Which do you think is more incestual, that or like a Survivor reunion party that doesn't isn't official?
Good question. Yeah, they don't pass out any condoms at these Survivor parties.
They should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
so it's smart of them. I think so. I remember in one of the countries, they had like cardboard beds that couldn't support the weight of two people on them.
Yeah, I think that was during one of the COVID games. I think that was in the last couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah. They were trying to frown upon that.
I do have bad news, though.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I read an article recently that said Paris will not be providing air conditioning. So to the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can go out and get their own.
Only the French team. Only the French team.
Probably
air conditioning.
So I don't know how far that goes in actual, but I don't know how much you're going to be willing to tango in the Paris humidity after doing your Olympic thing when it's like super hot, super humid, no air conditioning. Just like 300,000 condoms. They'll have 299,000 condoms left over when this is done. With no air conditioning? That's insane.
Hmm.
Do they have like Olympic logos on them so that it's just like
a
item?
They should.
Yeah, that I don't know cool. if they have a picture of the condoms.
They're probably
they should look like the gold medal.
No, actually, that's no, only performance for based at the end, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say break it down in size from the gold, silver, and bronze.
See, I think they come in a package where the five condoms are sort of like laid out like the Olympics logo. Yeah,
like the Olympics rings. Nice.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought condoms could all be one size if they were shrink wrap. Like there's like a huge size and then you get a hot air blower and then shrink it down.
So wait, you think so you hit it with the, with your air, your hair dryer?
Yeah, with the provided hair dryer in the hotel room.
So basically like a
condom. That's why there's no AC this, because that.
Yeah, heat, it will automatically
Shrink it down.
You'd like condoms, like it's almost like a roll of tape or like aluminum foil where you just take off as much as you need.
Yeah, like every guy gets a Magnum, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no embarrassment there. Then he goes in the bathroom and shrinks it down to the appropriate size.
Well, what about this, Danny? And maybe this is the business idea until that technology exists.
Takes off, yeah.
Is you, Danny, since you have time because you're not doing all the holiday prep and stuff, buy a bunch of Magnums, put little peewees inside the wrapper of the Magnum. So use the Magnum wrappers with the Pee Wee condoms. And
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Although I will say, you know what? The Magnum condoms might be actually perfect for Danny would make one hell of a leprechaun trap. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's yeah.
Danny.
Repurpose them.
I need to make plans for next year starting right now. So this is good to be brainstorming.
Just like put like a penny like right on this and then the leprechaun goes in there and he can't get out.
So too slippery?
I don't think on the inside. Yeah.
Well, you have some kind of spring-loaded like snare that closes.
Yeah, a mouse trap, I think.
Won't the if that's airtight, that's going to kill that leprechaun.
Should be.
I can't support that unless we're farming leprechauns for.
Yeah, how much meat do you get out of a leprechaun?
They're pretty girthy. Like they're short. You think
they're well marbled.
I think. Oh my gosh! Totally. Well-aged marbled meat.
Okay. So no intimacy ban at the Paris Olympics this year.
I did hear this was a last minute thing though. There was going to be some kind of ban, right?
Come on.
And then now they're like, dude, no, we can't
let people live.
Young, attractive people.
Mm-hmm.
So
come on. Okay.
Just in the peak of life.
So we've got another interesting story from around the globe. We like to talk about, people in the job market. Now, this is to our listeners in the UK, and there is a job opening where you can now get a spot in the coveted Antarctica Penguin Post Office.
Exciting.
So wait.
Yes.
You can get a job there and you work with penguins or penguin is the name
of I think they just
the
call it the Penguin Post Office. That it's in Port Lockroy. Danny, is that on your bucket list, Antarctica?
Oh my gosh, I would love to go. It's just so expensive.
Well,
not if you have a job there,
Maybe if you get a job. I think Liz. You need to be a UK citizen. It's for UK residents only. So there is the Antarctica Post Office, where there are six people. They're looking for six more people to work there for a shift starting in November and ending in March 2025. It's a historic site that gets 18,000 visitors a year that process 80,000 letters and postcards. Can we do the math on this? 18,000 people come. And then it's just like the whole gimmick that you just send a postcard to everybody you know from Antarctica.
Yeah, you'd probably have to. So here's the new job is get up there, take some dope photos, doper than any other postcards, get postcards made and sell them.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it's not all glamorous. Okay. That part of your job is to take care of the 1,500 penguins that are nearby. Okay. But you then have to.
How? Do you have to baby bird them?
They say that they will have to keep count of the penguins. I don't know if that means that make sure none of them get loose like the pythons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Penguin count.
Okay. Yeah. You will share a room with five other people.
Oh, I thought you were going to say penguins.
Yeah. You will go extended periods of time without phone or internet and up to 2 weeks without showering.
That's gross. In a room you share with four other people who haven't showered for 2 weeks.
There is no running water on the island.
You know, the fascinating...
Why is this? Why is this?
because it's Antarctica.
They make bank, Tyson. They're making bank during that short period of time when people are sending five letters per person off the cruise ship back home.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm not sure necessarily how much money this is because I guess that this is in pounds. But basically, if I do the conversion real quick, that you'll make about $1,700 a month.
Whoa. That is not great.
Yeah, but when you're not showering or doing anything, you're saving almost all of that.
There's nothing to spend money on.
You're
so
eating penguins.
Your expenses are minimal.
You're yourself also sending postcards. What if you're sending postcards too, though, spending $1,700 a month on postcards?
The whole time we've been talking about this, I've been trying to think if I know anyone's address to send an actual postcard to. And other than my own, I don't know.
What about your parents?
No. I don't know their address.
What about your childhood home? You could just send it there, whoever's
there. I could send it there to the squatters who live there now. But yeah, other than that, I can't send three postcards. Yeah.
1050 East, 135 South, Linden, Utah is getting a postcard from me.
From Antarctica. Help me. Send a plane. I am currently working in the Antarctic Post Office.
I grew up in that house and my family has not owned that house for 20 years, but they're getting the postcard.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Be prepared to have some different tinned foods and occasionally some fresh fish from visiting ships.
Oh, nice.
Not interested. This is for an adventurer who wants to be a blogger who doesn't have a following yet.
A blogger. Someone from 2007.
A vlogger.
Oh, vlogger.
Let's do it. I said blogger, but I meant vlogger because blogging is vlogging.
Yeah.
So, So get that up and coming vlogger out there, get them a job, and they will be so happy.
Okay. From the penguin vlogger, let's go to the penguin yogger this mysterious case. Of 18,000 missing bobbleheads were reported stolen. Have you heard about this case?
No, but I've heard of bobbleheads.
Yes, bobbleheads. Yeah. So there was a big bobblehead doll night for the Pittsburgh Penguins where legendary Jaromir Jagr was going to have a bobblehead night. And somebody ended up stealing all 18,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads.
Are they worth more now or less? So one comes on the market and they know who it was.
Right.
Right. I don't know how you move these hot Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads.
Yeah. You'd have to just claim that you built them yourself.
Yeah, it's a dumb crime. Really dumb. I mean, maybe there's something in there, like some small amount of like copper. They'll melt them down for copper.
Well, so the truck that they were in ended up getting looted here. Do you think that the thieves knew what they were stealing?
Good point. Imagine the look on their faces when they opened all those boxes.
What is it? They're bobbleheads.
We killed a security guard for 18,000 bobbleheads.
Oh, man. So good.
Dude, so that's good. When the infighting begins over the job.
Like everyone
in each other.
Everyone in Canada that has a bobblehead of a hockey player on their dashboard in their car is getting pulled over by the mountains. Horses, guys on horses just chasing down. I don't know how Canada works, but...
Well, this was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh.
The Pittsburgh Penguin.
Oh, okay. Pittsburgh. So I think Pittsburgh Penguins are pretty hot in Pittsburgh. So still everyone's getting pulled over. And Luke McDowell says he thinks they got the guy.
Okay. He thinks update. That they got the
so he said that it's
update. I have not seen any update. I've not gotten that update.
Yeah. I don't know. Luke seems pretty certain that they got the guy. But Pittsburgh Penguins bobbleheads, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to move those, though. If they're in hot demand, you just like leak a couple of them out and be like, oh, maybe a box. Here's what you do. Take one box back. Just place it at the stadium somewhere. People find it. They're like, oh, there's 30 of them. That's good. Distribute those. Once those get distributed, you can go on and start selling them on eBay and be like, there's only 30 of these in existence. The rest got stolen, and then start selling them.
Yeah.
Wow. This made a lot of news. Trying to find an update, but this is everywhere. The bobblehead theft of 2024.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Philadelphia Flyers mascot Gritty tweeted on social media that it was him.
Oh, Gritty.
Oh, come on. That better not be the case.
This isn't.
No, well, this happened in California.
Joke, yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a joke, Gritty.
Okay. All right. No time for joking, Gritty.
Too soon.
Okay. This is a story from the Future News F department that nearly 50% of U.S. parents are financially supporting at least one adult child.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if my parents took that survey, they'd still...
100%.
100%. If my parents were the only ones polled, 100% of parents. Yeah. And it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that I saw something recently about how children are complaining that their parents are moving back in to their house.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what's
there's only two types of people in this world, people that are getting supported by their parents or people that are supporting their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the truth here?
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Do you love your kids enough that if they're like 40 and they're like, hey, can I come back and live with you? You'd be like, sure. As long as you mow the lawn.
Would they do that? Can I get that deal?
Probably.
They'd probably be like, I'm
they're
not
willing to mow
lawn.
The lawn.
And then Rachel would be like, you can still come back.
Yeah. I mean, you take that right now if you can get that they'll actually do something.
Yeah
that would be nice.
You take it right now. But what I'm saying is I lived away from home for probably like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came back, my mom was like, you can live with us if you want. Like, I remember her offering, and I did live with them, and they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something about being an older parent and still seeing lonely. Seeing your kids as a certain age that's not representative of their real age. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's the only reason I can excuse parents for allowing adult children to.
They're still your babies.
Exactly. That's what they always say. Still my babies. And everybody else who's watching the situation unfold is like, that's no baby. That's a guy
my
who
baby.
Has never tried.
Yeah. Docs wants to say, imagine still building leprechaun traps for your 40-year-old.
They will be the best leprechaun traps ever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This kid hopefully has gone through engineering programs, understands physics, all of that. And builds the sickest, actually catches a leprechaun, and then what?
You have to be willing to torture the leprechaun. He's not giving up the gold.
Like, you have to torture the leprechaun?
Yeah. 100%. He's not going to tell you.
Yeah, that's what I always ask my kids when they were building the traps. What are you going to do once you get it? Do you realize that he's not just going to spill the beans? You're going to have to waterboard him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So should we start buying like real gold? And be like, I got this as a kid when I tortured a leprechaun. Like, how do you keep up the ruse?
I think what we need to do is start selling the leprechaun waterboarding kit on Amazon for all the parents to buy their kids of like, hey, how are you going to get them to talk? Okay. You need the hood.
Car battery and
you
clamps.
Get the bucket. Okay.
Why not a ball gag and a feather?
I think that's getting a little
we'll provide a waterboarding.
It's not for his enjoyment.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not supposed to be fun.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get him to talk.
Yeah. He's
you
got
to send him to Leprechaun Guantanamo Bay.
Okay.
When I bring this up with my nieces and nephews about the, you're going to have to be willing to go pretty far to get that gold.
Yeah.
None of them have the stomach for it. And so then I say, well, then why build the trap?
You don't want it that bad.
Yeah. Why build the trap?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kate says little bitty jumper cables.
Yeah. Yeah. We can sell all the leprechaun torture devices.
With just a 9-volt battery and little teeny jumper cables. That
just to mess with, you're just trying to scare them. You don't even really have to do it if it looks good.
They have to spark when you touch them.
They have to spark.
That's
the
bare minimum.
Yeah. You know, if you have two kids, one's got to be the good cop. The other's got to be the bad cop.
Yeah, now we sell a manual, like CIA interrogation tactics for those who have caught a leprechaun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then Danny, I saw this one today and I thought of you. Okay. This is an article here from NBC News that's entitled "Meet the Families Who've Taken Children as Young as 2 to Everest Base Camp."
These people are so obnoxious. These people who get their kids to climb mountains at extremely young ages are, you're, part of me is like, that's impressive. The other part of me is that's really annoying, right? Everyone's trying to get the age down. What's the youngest child to have done something? It's like the Guinness Book of World Records.
No, none of that is for that. This is to post a picture on
Instagram. That's what I just said. It's like the Guinness Book of World Record for vloggers. Like it's the way to get the hype directed.
Just go work at the Antarctica post office already.
With our 1-month-old.
They don't have to be the youngest. Like if I got my 5-year-old and my 8-year-old to Everest Base Camp and we went and took some good photos and publicized it, it would go berserk.
No, think about your thumbnail, Tyson. If you could put on your thumbnail, we took the youngest child ever to base camp. That's a pretty good thumbnail right there.
Mm-hmm.
That you put up on YouTube rather than my 5-year-old. Everyone will be like, 5-year-old, dude, they're taking 9-month-olds up to the summit.
Yeah, but listen,
you're taking a 5-year-old to base camp.
They love that tipping ceremony.
You got to teach your kid to sail because the youngest person to sail around the world by themselves was this 16-year-old girl, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. But if you can...
What movie was that?
I don't know. Young Sailor or some Young shit. Sailor,
yeah.
Yeah. But if you can get... Danny, all of our kids are young enough that if we started training them now and got them to go around the world, we would be absolute superstars.
Look at this family photo, Danny. This could have been your Christmas card.
My gosh, so pretentious.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Christmas cards with their stupid family photo and a list of all the accomplishments they've done.
So you think that Chris and Cindy Matulis
choppered in this kid as close to base camp as possible and then had her walk up. She's probably like sucking oxygen through a straw.
Just permanent brain damage.
Her lips are turning purple. Permanent brain damage. They get the picture. They're like, all right, quick, post it on Instagram before that family behind us with the 4-year-old comes up and gets this picture. The other thing that's always bothered me about Everest Base Camp is that the spray painted rock. Could there be any more of a ghetto place to mark an accomplishment? It really is always just a spray painted rock.
Yeah.
It's just like Everest has kind of become a joke, if I can be honest.
Yeah.
Just a big trash can that now has diapers.
Yeah.
Now there's diapers there. Imagine
these kids at base camp.
Yeah. Look at
that.
They love
it.
So
they're loving it.
They do love it. They're just like, smile. You smile or you're not getting the leprechaun trapped.
Well,
when we get home.
The best part is when these kids write this book 15 years from now about how they resent their parents and how they destroyed their childhood by trying
to chase their own ambitions. Is this what the Menendezes did to their kids?
Well, the article says that the journey had some setbacks, Cindy said. Carrying Hazel was sometimes a struggle. Especially on a day when rain created slippery mud on the trail that rose to their knees.
I could have carried Hazel, no problem.
She says, I was absolutely miserable. At another point, she said their son, Hobie, then age 11, hit his head and had to be examined by a medic. Henry, who was 9 at the time, got a fever. And Haley, age 6, developed a deep blister that briefly prevented her from walking.
Gosh. Meanwhile, the malnourished
you
children
can do all of
live.
This at Disneyland.
Well, no, there's people who are raising kids in this situation. It's like they think this is some accomplishment, but the locals are raising entire families and scraping a living off of the land. And it's like, we carried our kid in the finest gear to base camp. look at us. It's like, there's a family right off the side of the picture you can't see. It was like, we've raised five strong children who can climb to the top of Everest without oxygen and have eaten nothing but lichen for like 20 years. It's like, I don't know. It's just, it's really annoying. Okay,
one other anecdote that also, there was one day that Cindy noticed blood on her shirt while carrying Hazel. She said, oh my gosh, is there something wrong with Hazel? Did she get cut? And it turned out that the blood was coming from a leech on Cindy's stomach.
Oh, that's kind of cool. That's the best story you've
told. At one point, the whole family pulled leeches off their feet.
Yeah, and they never felt better after a little bloodletting.
How are you getting leeches? Like, not in, are they in swamps? What's going on here?
Yeah, that is... Dude, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We should move on. This is annoying me.
All right, Danny. Yeah, let's move on to your bolt hole.
Yeah.
You're ready? Here we go.
I can't even build a leprechaun trap for my kids, and these people are taking theirs to Everest.
In North Face gear.
Yeah. All right, here's Danny's bolt hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
All right. Danny's bolt hole. Here we go.
So many relevant stories in my bolt hole. But I'm gonna talk about this one. Smeat came and went, right?
It had its moment. Now we're on to snake meat.
Now we're on to snake meat, but South Korean scientists, mad scientists, might be a great way to phrase this, have come up with something called beef rice. Beef rice, a new source of protein for the future. And it uses stem cells from the bovine to infuse the rice with fat and protein. So it's basically flakes that are pink. They look so unappetizing.
Oh, no.
They look like pink maggots with different shades of pink, from dark pink to light pink, in a bowl. And they've already been consumed by humans. People have eaten a bowl of
beef rice. Beef.
Yeah, yes. Reef. We call it reef, I guess.
Reef.
Or bice. Yeah. We can workshop that later.
Tyson, would you try it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it could taste good.
With a side of python.
Yeah, with a big old python steak on the side.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sure.
More appealing to me than smeat.
Yeah.
Like, I would have eaten smeat if it had become big because I hate cows. But this one looks a little, it's just rice infused with actual beef protein. I can imagine it actually tasting good because I love rice.
Yeah. After a couple of weeks at the Antarctica post office, like, this is probably going to be pretty appetizing.
Like, dude, no more canned ham or spam. Give me some of that rice beef. So the people who have eaten it, they say that it's not the worst thing in the world, which, if you're looking for an endorsement, I don't know if this is the best endorsement you can get, but it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's also not as good as actual flesh from a cow.
Okay.
And they said flesh, or you said
no, flesh. I threw that in there because you use flesh. And I was like, yeah, that's a great way to phrase it. So, be on the lookout for rice beef if you want to try it with your snake meat. It could be a great, companion to that dish.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We got a lot of positive feedback. I had asked on last week's show, does the audience like when we work on creating the thumbnail for the episode using AI in the show? And we got a lot of nice comments. People said they do like that.
They love it. Oh.
They love it. Good use of AI, people said.
Yeah.
Can we do Tyson Slapshot?
Tyson? So you want Tyson Apostle doing a shot and getting slapped in the face?
No, slapping someone in a shot.
So Tyson Apostle slapping a spring breaker in the face?
Someone said a thumbnail for is the episode is a child at Everest Base Camp torturing a leprechaun.
Okay. Well,
I do like that.
All right.
I do like that, but it might be hard to get all that into a picture.
All right. We could try that. Tyson Apostle. All right. I can run both while we're doing the plug.
May as well run both.
Tyson Apostle slapping a spring breaker in the face. Mm-hmm. What do we want to have? A leprechaun trap?
No, we want to have a child at Everest Base Camp.
Okay.
Torturing a leprechaun.
At Everest Base Camp, torturing a leprechaun.
Thanks, Joel.
Okay.
For that. Yeah.
That was a great one.
Okay. So let's get the both of those. Oh, we can't do that. Okay.
I knew the torturing
thing. No, is a problem. How about
tickling?
Trapping or tickling?
Trapping.
Leprechaun trap.
Okay, that's okay. Okay, that one is approved. Look, safeguards are in place here.
Yeah.
For our AI tools.
Safe. Yes.
Okay.
We have to stay safe.
Yeah. All right. I could tell you that the Tyson slapping a spring breaker in the face it got very confused here. I don't know. We're in like a boxing match.
So he doesn't know what a spring breaker is, probably.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to be smart. You got to talk
slapping
to
someone on the beach
in
the face. A beach goer, a person at the beach.
Yeah. Okay. I think we might be 0-2. So we do have we have a child at Everest Base Camp. But we're not getting the leprechaun.
Where's the leprechaun?
Where's the leprechaun?
It put green. A lot of green clothing.
And then this was Tyson slapping the spring breaker in the face.
Whoa, super sexy Tyson.
I think that Tyson, in this case, that I think we got like Mike Tyson, I think is throwing it off.
Yeah. Let's see what else we can do here.
How about a leprechaun slapping a child in the face?
A leprechaun slapping a bobblehead hockey player in the face with itty bitty jumper cables. There's a lot to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
How about do a leprechaun slapping just a person in the face?
Okay.
Hmm.
If a child is slapping a leprechaun in the face.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Like yeah. Okay. A young child slapping
on a pile of gold.
Slapping a leprechaun in the face in front of a pile of gold.
You know what would make this easier would be if AI would just listen to our podcast and then just give us some ideas.
Give us the best one.
All right. Yeah, Danny, in the meantime, why don't you tell us what you're going to be up to?
Oh, yeah. What am I going to be up to? Oh, geez. Still working on the ultimate vlogging musical album to put on my videos.
Cool.
I tell you, it's not as easy as I'd hoped. I still, like, is there an AI tool for music? It seems like it would be the
They're probably out there, but I don't know of one.
Yeah.
But big music is holding it back from the world because pop music is like the easiest thing to assemble. Yeah,
these producers, you're right.
Not for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm working on that. And then hopefully I can get out here in the next week or two and go do a life-threatening adventure. Maybe I'll take my kids, the youngest one, you know, put her at risk for some sweet subscribers. Yeah, that'll be worth it. And then, yeah, that's about it. What about you, Tyson?
I am covering Survivor. We had a really good chat with Lauren last week, one of our one of our highest revered episodes. We had a lot of fun. And just wrapping up vacation here in Mexico, not coming home for till the end of the week, and then moving homes. So we got that. Still doing that. Coming out with a custom hat from Imperial Headwear. That's Tyson Apostle's signature. We're either going to do some signed editions or some giveaways or something. So be on the lookout for that. And and then I'm just on call 24/7 from the hotel to see a crocodile at the pond next door at the preserve. So fingers crossed for that.
Exciting.
I'm going to walk down there after this and just look around, see if there's a croc to be seen.
Okay.
Take some snake meat and chuck it into the water.
All right. Yeah. Here's some options of the child. Here we have one, but no leprechaun here.
He's not the leprechaun.
Is that the leprechaun or is that the child?
I think that's the child. Okay.
Okay.
Here we've got the leprechaun here, but nobody's being slapped.
Okay. I don't mind that one.
This it looks like the kid is eating the gold.
Yes, I like that.
You like that one. This kid is screaming.
That makes sense right there.
Got there's an
a Okay, yeah. It can't do some violence, obviously.
Yeah,
it
can't do violence. And then these are some more realistic ones. This is a unhappy child. Uh-huh. These are children seemingly fighting over the gold on St. Patrick's Day morning.
Yep.
This is a greedy young man having killed the leprechaun, I guess. And then this child is like has to like some like leprechaun types looking on.
Uh-huh. I don't mind those. I kind of like the one with that leprechaun man.
Yeah. Or the eating gold. The gold. Mm-hmm.
That one or the eating gold.
I think this one has the leprechaun. I think if we call the episode Leprechaun Traps or News AF.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish there was more slapping. I think the AI is hesitant to do anything violent.
Yeah. Ashley in the chat had one that said child crying because there was no leprechaun trap. So I was thinking child crying as leprechaun runs away with Danny Bryson standing in the background smiling.
Oh, yeah.
But that would be too much.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I think probably more than two things I think is tough. We'll get better at this. Okay? All right. But that's your AI generated News AF thumbnail. And of course, we've got everything coming up with Survivor. We'll be back at it tomorrow night here on robhasawebsite.com. All right. Thank you so much for joining us once again. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys. Adios.